Welcome to Elton and John's World Cup podcast, because we thought there hadn't been enough of those. When is anyone consuming all of this content? I mean, thank you for joining us, but are you sure you're not missing Tunisia's latest match? Patreons are getting this the morning after Spain's Magnificent Seven. Podcast listeners, well, that's more up for grabs, because our producer Patrick is in Qatar and he's cold. Apparently in the stands, cold air is being pumped around at such a volume that it's freezing. And he was sitting there shivering through England versus Iran. Now that's content for you. As is now World Cup tradition, all broadcasts and podcasts begin with a consideration of all of the political, cultural, ethical and moral underpinnings of, say, Senegal versus Ecuador. And in our perfectly functioning societies, mainstream politicians are terrified of talking about anything that could alienate this or that voter group without carefully calibrating its potential impact on voting behaviour. So we leave it to Gareth Bale and Harry Kane. Will they or will they not wear an armband? Yes, that's it. We never hear from a professor of philosophy on the media. That would be boring. We just want everything distilling into one simple act. A person who's written six books on ethics and morality? No, too boring. What does Kieran Trippier think? Is Gianni Infantino feeling gay today or not? And does he only feel when he can't find a parking space? And that's it. No more politics. I will not be asking ex-Wimbledon striker Terry Gibson to sum up the complex relationship between modern Western values and the lingering effects of cultural imperialism on the rest of the world. Is that all right, Terry?
Thank you, John. No. However, I've just watched the FIFA documentary on Netflix. What the hell? How is this? And do you know what's really hacked me off? I'm not going to the politics and the rights and wrongs of the culture in the Middle East. But what's hacked me off is this was 10 years ago. They did a double bubble, Russia and Qatar, because they probably knew they were going to get caught. They got two for one, basically. So they got two lots of bribery, money laundering and whatever it was. And it's all there. 12 people pleaded guilty. Jack Warner is still avoiding extradition to America. So why this all happened in 2015, where the allegations were made and the court cases started. So why haven't the federations, this is my only complaint, why didn't they do something in 2015 about Russia and Qatar? Why did the big hitters of world football not stand together? And clearly, when two World Cups have been bought, why didn't they make the change? And the answer can be, it can only be they're complicit. It can only be that, because if you got the big hitters from the World Cups, and we know that, pick 10, we'd all pick roughly the same 10. If they all said, no, we're not having it. And that's long enough. In 2015, it was 3 years before the World Cup in Russia, before the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, plenty of time to have made the change. I can't believe it's still going ahead. We've clearly two World Cups that were bought and corrupt.
Yeah, but I think it ties in to that business that I was talking about, for example, in the UK, Labour politicians won't talk about any of this stuff publicly because they're terrified of it, because they're always going to, you know, alienate people who might vote for us. I think it's the same with FAs. I think they would love it to just come down to, are you wearing an armband or are you not wearing
exactly
an armband? And
potentially,
then you're in a ludicrous situation where it comes down to a few footballers. That's utterly unfair, isn't it? It's not fair for it to be Gareth Bale. If he'd worn the armband, he got booked, and then so he would have been sent off. Who knows? They didn't test it, and then he would have. Then Wales would have lost that game, presumably, because he wouldn't have scored the goal. Bought a penalty.
I'm actually glad the opportunity to let rip on it, and I couldn't agree more with you. And all these people that are banging on there about the morals of Qatar and that, they regularly holiday in Dubai. They're quite happy to be seen in Dubai and going on holiday. Oh, but then we can't go and play, do our job. I mean, that's what it boils down to me. These footballers, it's their job. It's a very well paid and glamorous job and it's high profile, but it basically is a job. So I'm with the footballers on this one. The press conferences are awkward. They just want that. I would love to, given a lot, to have played in a World Cup for my country. It didn't happen. To have the opportunity to go and play in a World Cup, I hope these players don't take it for granted. And also, they shouldn't be put, and they're going to do their job. So I really don't think politics and football should be down to the players themselves. They should, and I'm actually beginning to enjoy the World Cup now. It's dying down, the aggravation that came along with the World Cup, Qatar being the host, people trying silly stunts to get themselves on likes on Twitter and stuff like that. Thankfully, it's slowing down. I just want to watch and enjoy a World Cup. I wished it wasn't being played at this time of year. It's bloody awkward, actually, 10 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. I know it sounds great in theory, but there's other stuff to do, and you're trying to play catch-up, and you're picking your games. Thankfully, I've missed a couple of nil-nils because it's a long old haul. So I'm being selective with my games, watching the obvious ones. I just want to enjoy the football. World Cups are great. As I said, I've enjoyed watching them all my life. I'm trying to ignore the stuff that's going on around this one and just focus on the World Cup. I'm not particularly spending much time watching pre-match, post-match and half-time because I don't think that the people that are working on the games are prepared, partly down to the fact that a week ago we were playing club football. But it seems I'm looking at people's opinions and I'm thinking, no, you haven't done any prep on this. You haven't done any homework. You're fudging it. You're blagging your way through this. You haven't got any clue about Costa Rica and you're not giving us any extra information that we should have about the Japanese players and stuff like that. It's all been rushed. The players, some of the nations look as if they've rushed into a tournament as well. The obvious ones, which we'll speak briefly about in the football podcast. But no, I'm having a little bit of a rant that it shouldn't be down to footballers. It really shouldn't be. And you know, we've seen Germany with their hands over their mouth and then Rudiger taking piss out the Japanese player who then scores the winning goal. I don't like swearing on the podcast, but how happy was I when Rudiger got his comeuppance when he's jogging back, hand in the air. Hasn't got a clue his teammate is 2 yards behind him, playing them all onside. And it's so there's good things to talk about in the World Cup, but the political side of it is lingering. But there's nothing anyone can do about it now. And I just want to watch and enjoy a World Cup. We can all debate and we probably all agree with the reasons that it shouldn't be in Qatar politically and the cultural differences. But it's there. There's nothing we can do about it.
Well, the question is, well, there sort of is, but what it means is keeping it all in the spotlight. Because, you know, David Kong wrote that brilliant book on the fall of the House of FIFA years ago. And everyone said, oh, well done, David, and then didn't do anything about it. So if you really want, if it matters to you enough, then you should do stuff like organise against Infantino, say, right, we're never, you know, we're going to put different criteria in the world, all of this stuff, but we'll forget about it. Forget about the actual opportunity to change the elements of FIFA politics and just leave it to a few gestures. But anyway, there we are.
So I was laughing for most of it. It's comedy value, isn't it? You're thinking, oh, so we've got this great football person from the Cayman Islands wants to be manager of FIFA because Cayman Islands have got such a great footballing background. And you've got Infantino and Blatter live 10 kilometres apart in Switzerland. And you think, what the hell, Trinidad and Tobago, Jack Warner is running amok with because of that great footballing nation in Trinidad and Tobago. And if what the hell is going on? It's comedy and Blatter still. He's
remarkable, isn't he? He is remarkable in his Teflon, you know, a man who nothing sticks on. And he just sits there smiling away.
And you've got PSG have only bought, PSG bought, Qatar bought PSG because they, France, Sarkozy, need to vote for them to have the World Cup. And there was other political business transactions done between countries and Russia and Qatar in order to get a vote. It's comical when you're watching it and you're thinking, how on earth were these people allowed and still allowed probably to get away with this? It's truly astonishing. So therefore, I just want to watch and enjoy a World Cup. And yeah. I've kind of forgotten where it is now. There's nothing I can do sitting in my home at Essex. What I can do to do anything, I'm not going to put, you know, start tweeting stuff, and it's there's nothing we can do. It's futile. Right. To just, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are the same. Just enjoy the football. There's been some good games, some shock results, and plenty for us to get stuck into now.
So, literally as we speak, so this will narrow down the time. I am watching Switzerland 0, Cameroon 0. Yeah. Patrons will notice the different background that my mum's house. So we want, it's a classic podcast tradition. I'm broadcasting from my mum's house.
You're a keyboard warrior using a different IP address.
So who's going to win the World Cup, Terry, so far? So far, I've been really, obviously, England, Spain, brilliant. France, rocky start, but then created so many chances, didn't they, against Australia?
Yeah.
So tick, tick, tick for those. A couple of massive shocks so far. What's been the best bit? Should we do, because we do Spanish football, let's do Spain first, and then we'll have a quick pull through the rest.
Interesting team selection. You mentioned the cold. That was allegedly the reason that Morata and Carvajal didn't play, that they've caught a cold due to the air conditioning in the hotel. So there must be issues with Pat, our producer, saying it was freezing cold in the stadiums. So that was interesting. He could have played Llorente, he could have played right back instead of Azpilicueta, but in this game, Rodrigo's played at centre-back, no test whatsoever. Costa Rica didn't have an attempt, a shot. So that'll be interesting going further forward to see how Rodrigo fares against, if they were to come up against France or England, the other two teams that have played well in this competition so far. That'd be interesting to see how Rodrigo defends. I think it's something he's going to stick with. I think that's his plan. He's mercurial, isn't he? Luis Enrique does things his own way. I don't think he's going to be Spain manager after the World Cup, because I think if they win it, he'll get taken away by one of the big clubs in Europe. And if they lose and don't go out and don't go through, then people will say behind the scenes, is this too radical to ever manage it that makes a completely different squad to what most of the nation think? Not just one or two players, lots of players. I mean, is Rodrigo better than Sergio Ramos at centre-back at the moment? And considering Ramos's age, probably not. He might be able to bring the ball out the back better when they've got time in possession, but is he going to be a better defender? Of course not. David De Gea clearly is one of the best three goalkeepers in Spain. We can bang on and on and on about the players that are missing and the players that are there. But he's doing things his own way. And this, again, was a reflection of that. And they'd be terrific. I mean, it was tiki-taka returns is pretty much the headline. But let's wait and see. Same with England. Let's wait and see how they fare against teams that are stronger, better, tactically, technically, than Costa Rica. So Costa Rica were pretty bad. But Spain were excellent. There's nothing you can... You know, the good thing about this, and for England, different players getting amongst the goals, which is great in tournament football. Get off to a good start as a team, individual scoring goals, which is, you know, for Ferran Torres in particular. He's had a little bit of a tough time at Barcelona. He's got a couple of goals. Dani Olmo getting amongst the goals. Asensio. So the front three all scored. Gavi with a remarkable performance and goal. Pedri was at the top of his game. They all played well. But likewise, I think, you know, getting those individuals up and running with a goal or two does help you in the long term, in this short period of time, months football, if you can go that far. It does help to have players that are scoring goals. It just gives you a feel-good factor, which is the same with England. England were in the middle of a right depressing funk, weren't they? Couldn't score, couldn't keep clean sheets. All that's forgotten. You know, the defeats against Hungary and the performances in the Nations League. Rightly so. This is what matters now, and they've got off to a good start, and suddenly all that's banished and you can push on. So a good start is really important. It's not the be-all and end-all. It doesn't mean you're going to win the World Cup, and we have to take into account the strength of the opposition, but you, of course, you want to get off to a good start, score loads of goals. And the funny thing is, I'm laughing at everybody that's up in arms about the 10 minutes added on it each half.
Oh, yes.
Because we're used to it with La Liga. And I've looked surprised now when it's 4 minutes is added on. I'm thinking, really? Is that all?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's gone the other way and everyone's going, oh, we can't have this. Why?
Well, I've said this before. I'm ready to go with this. Is that they need to stop the time wasting. They don't need to add the time on at the end. Now, there have been a couple of incidents in this World Cup, haven't there, where players have been injured. So that's fine. You need 14 minutes of injury time if a guy's been whacked in the head. But I watched yesterday Morocco. Mazraoui had a hamstring or some kind of muscle injury, was off the pitch, walked back on the pitch, sat down, got treatment, etc. And then he got substituted. Yeah. And that probably was 5 minutes it probably took.
Yeah.
You've got to stop that. It's not just acceptable. The 110-minute football match is not acceptable, is it? You've got to stop the time wasting at source. It's a poor substitute to just go adding the time on at the end. What else have you? Can we talk about Argentina? Did you see Argentina?
Yes,
Saudi
yeah,
Arabia?
Of course.
I thought they were. I mean, obviously, fine lines, but I thought Hervé Renard, the coach of Saudi Arabia, hugely experienced. Yeah. He has won two African nations. He knows what he's doing with the team. I thought they were well organized. They had a clear plan, didn't they? A very high line, plenty of pressure on the ball in midfield. And I thought Argentina kept doing the same things. They kept trying to break them down in the same way. And it was maddening. I quite enjoyed Saudi Arabia winning because I like a shock. But I was also maddened for Argentina. I was thinking, come on, do something, change it, do something different.
But it only needed a slight alteration, didn't it, in terms of the three goals that were disallowed for offside. After the first one, you should then wise up and think, well, I'll play on this high line. I'll run from deeper. I'll run later. The strikers are quicker than, you know, Messi and Lautaro Martinez are quicker than the defensive players they're up against. Give yourself an extra yard or two. Run across the line. Bend your run. All the stuff you're taught. But they continue to do it, Argentina. Just the ball over the top and run in from an onside position and score a goal, which was then disallowed. So that was the big fall. Once, yes. Maybe twice if you're playing on the shoulder of the defender. But, you know, the amount of times they got caught in an offside position. So, again, it was a risky tactic, but it was a tactic. We talk about Iran, who were ranked 20th in the world. They had no plan against England. I have no idea what their plan was. And they're one of the nations that have had time to come up with a plan. So fair play to Saudi Arabia. And then we talk about Japan, and they did the same plan. They had a plan, and they stuck in there. They didn't fold when they went behind. And then tried to liven things up in the second half with changes or a change of the style of play. Saudi Arabia went slightly more direct in the second half, and that paid off. Two quick fire goals, and then defended so well. And Argentina, as you said, same things. And if you get an Argentina to hoist crosses into the box from not very good crossing positions, you're happy because they're not going to score too many goals unless the centre-half goes up. They're not going to score too many headers. They had one or two half chances from headers. Messi had one, but struggled to get the power beyond the effort. So it was, I agree with you. The Argentina performance was repetitive and it lacked sort of that game know-how, which was unusual. But we're talking about England coming into the tournament on bad form, Argentina coming into the tournament in unbelievable form. Argentina could still win it. I mean, they won't be the first team that have a rocky start. I'm not saying they will. I'm not sure that defensively they didn't look very good. When they were attacked by Saudi Arabia, they looked to be, you know, Romero hasn't played for a while and he hasn't been playing much for quite a while. He looked at fault for the second goal, I think it was. The keeper probably could have done better. Still frustrates me when they go with the wrong hand. They go with it. You think that hand has got, I hope people are going to understand if they're not watching. And I'm 5'4". But if I was going to my left, I think my left arm goes further than my right arm.
Yeah.
And they tried to go with it. And I have this debate with Rob Palmer. And might be listening. And we've had many a debate. And he played in goal. And he tries to explain to me. But I just can't get it. But it wasn't the reason they lost. But Argentina are got some work to do in a tough group now. And it's not going to be easy, but they won't be. I think Spain lost, didn't they, their first game against Switzerland when they won the tournament. And other nations have lost the first game. It's not ideal. It's not something you want to do. It puts you under pressure. But it just goes to show tournament football. You come into it in this 36-game unbeaten run, I think it was Argentina, and lose to Saudi Arabia. They don't concede goals in the qualifiers. Then they concede two against Saudi Arabia. So it might just refocus their attention to the smaller details rather than just relying on we're better than them. That's not what it's all about. We'll score goals. And it looked like it was going to go to plan. The Messi with a penalty. They were the better team. They were dominant. But they didn't finish the game off, which is exactly what Germany did against Japan.
Yeah. And there are fine lines, aren't there? It's interesting. For all I've joked about there being too much content and you can't possibly consume it all, it's probably good to look back after the World Cup on these conversations, because someone will win the World Cup, obviously, and they will probably have a huge amount of luck along the way and have a, and you say, so, I mean, Martinez making a slight mistake, they didn't lose the game because of it. Sort of is, you know, one game can pivot on a slightly dodgy decision a goalkeeper making a slightly, you know, it doesn't have to be terrible, does it? Just, you know, goalkeeper having a slightly average game. And that's it with the World Cup. The stakes are so high, which is why it's one of the reasons it's so great, isn't it? Is it? And it means that the best teams don't necessarily win. I wasn't particularly, did you see Belgium? I wasn't particularly impressed. I thought Canada was a better team.
Yeah. Yes. And you saw Roberto Martinez after the game, was absolutely delighted that his team was so bad. And he was trying to big them up, trying to say, but his point, I got the point he was trying to make. But you play that bad and still win, you've got to be happy. And you, because you can play that bad, drop points, and it costs you, you know, you're running the World Cup.
Yeah.
So I understand his relief. I understand what he was trying to say. A lot of people won't get it and won't appreciate what he was trying to say. They would just look at the hard facts that they were poor, really poor. The big players were poor, and they got away with it. So
De Bruyne being poor was unusual. He was man of the match, wasn't he? FIFA man of the match, Kevin De Bruyne. I was like, what?
Refreshingly, he said, what are you talking about? That's where his opinion was, I didn't play well. How have I got this? Yeah. And he said, is it based on my name? So fair play to him. Yeah. To be fair, De Bruyne does sound like, appears to be a grounded being. Yeah. And he knows when people are trying to blow smoke up his...
Or, like and
he's
say,
not having it.
It's a lack of preparation. You know, we're hearing that. I agree with you on a lot of the co-coms and the expert pundits that we're hearing. You don't know. You're just guessing.
I'm making up. Some are making up stats.
Yeah.
They've got me Googling afterwards and I'm thinking, is that right? No, that's not. You just... Come off the top of your head.
There was a thing on Twitter yesterday with this fella, and to be fair to him, he admitted he'd made a mistake. He tweeted that Alphonso Davies had never taken a penalty, and it was like thousands and thousands. And then someone else said, he has though, hasn't he? And then the guy, and he, oh yeah, sorry, I missed those ones. So that's the discussion. Of course, the way Twitter works, it's the tweet has got a life of its own, and it's off, and it's like 20,000, 30,000 people. And so the people
all people cut on a tweet. On quick and bang, you're on top of you straight away, which happens on a lot of occasions. And then someone says, oh, they didn't do well in the last World Cup and they haven't done well in the last two World Cups. And then straight away they go, well, hang on, they won the Euros in that year and they got to the semi final, and that's not bad, you know. Yeah. So it can come back to haunt you, but there are a lot of those tweets where people just retweet the stuff and it's not true, But the preparation has been weird, isn't it? A week, 10 days ago, we were covering the Liga games. And a week later, after the Premier League started, England were playing. So it's a weird World Cup in terms of preparation for the teams, which might impact the... And then you've got players flying in from all over the world to meet up with their nations, to then fly to Qatar. I mean, in England, it's not too bad because most of our players play in the Premier League. But there are nations, Argentina, Brazil, for instance, where their players are all over the world. Yeah. And then joining up and coming together, and then, you know, just having a game like Argentina had in the first game against Saudi Arabia. So it makes it different. I prefer a summer World Cup. I'm still grilling, still barbecuing, still my traditional World Cup barbecues. So I'm still out there grilling. I might put some pictures on Twitter of the food I'm serving up. But I'm trying to do all the usual stuff in a World Cup. But it's pretty chilly out there at night, it must be, honest.
Well, I'm enjoying it because I my difference of opinion is over the timings. I like the timings. I like the fact that you can get up, have breakfast, get sorted, do anything, any quick jobs you got to do. First game, quick break next, and that's the brilliant thing about the World Cup. It just rolls on, doesn't it? So Switzerland Cameroon finishes, and he's right, another game, brilliant, and it just rolls on. So I think we should probably leave it there, Terry, because the danger is that we talk ourselves into firm positions that by the time people listen to it, England,
Japan
France,
were good, though. Japan were great, weren't they? Yeah. You must mention Japan. Yeah. They were great. I mean, it was, as I said about Saudi Arabia, sticking in there when you're one goal behind, coming back and then getting the winner. The fact that the supporters clear up their mess in the stadium, and you see the players' changing room swept. It was pristine, and they left those... origami swans that you sometimes get in a hotel room. They left them on the table. So that I'm enjoying seeing players that we don't, and now we see Take Kubo.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying seeing players we don't normally see. France look good despite all their, they could have a real moan up France, couldn't they? Benzema now missing the tournament, and the other players that were missing, they still look good. Big shout out to Olivier Giroud, another couple of goals, equals Thierry Henry's record in fewer games.
And we all think
about Thierry Henry, who's rightly so a super player. For Giroud to match that goal scoring record in fewer games tells you how important he's been to France. So, no, I'm hoping that we do get. I don't want the big teams to go out too early. I have to be honest. What, I want to see.
Yeah, I'd be funny if Germany or Argentina went out, for example. Much as I wish Messi, you know, but what you don't want is 2002, where you suddenly, what was it, like Turkey, Korea in a. Quarter
semi-final.
Was that the third place playoff? It must have been. Yeah, you're looking at.
I want to see big games in the quarterfinals.
Yeah,
I want to see. You know, it's a shame Italy not there. They're a big nation footballing terms, but I want to see. Not so much the last 16 because that won't happen. There'll be tough games. I want to see the big hitters in a World Cup in the last four
final. All. But one sort of Japan, Saudi Arabia or someone to come through by doing something different and playing in a different way, but not, I don't really, with all due respect, I don't want a Saudi Arabia, Japan World Cup final. Right. And on that political bombshell, we'll endeavour to...
You've asked for it now, John.
Yeah, We'll endeavour to get hold of Martin Hongler and find out what he thinks about the political situation in the world. But apart from that, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for everybody for listening. Thank you to the patrons, patreon.com/LTEL. And we will be back at some point when we decide the world needs more World Cup content. So we'll see you for that. Bye-bye.